I want to say good morning to each one of you. Pray God's word is going to bless you today as we look into the word in Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus 14, if you got your Bible, turn there. As the Perry sing this song that says something about the fact I'm living in Canaan now. You know, the children of Israel were brought out of the land of Egypt, and God brought them out, and when he done it, he brought them out with a high hand. With a high hand means he brought them out with all power. He didn't just get them out of there by the skin of his teeth. No, God brought them out exactly like he said he would. And so he prepared the children of Israel as he prepared them for this great exodus. The word exodus only means two things. Going out. That's the explanation of exodus. Two words. And so the two words, it was exactly what God was going to do. And God chose to do it on the Passover night. So we're going to tie some things together for you. You know, many times, if you were like I am, you were raised up, you didn't understand a lot of Bible terminology because I wasn't exposed to it. My family didn't always go to church. You know, it's when you're brought up outside of church, you don't understand a lot of the things that get said. It doesn't have the meaning to you. And I think that's part of this broadcast, is explain that meaning to help you understand it, help you comprehend it. Because I know how I needed that. And so sometimes people think, well, that's too basic. But it can't be too basic. Jesus made the gospel as basic as it could possibly be. And the gospel is wrapped up in this. Love God. Love Christ. And surrender to him. And as we get the radio turned down here, the music, the gospel is about loving Christ and honoring God and repenting of our evil ways. Yeah, that was the message of Jesus. That was the message of John. As John came preaching, repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Jesus came preaching, repent, the kingdom of God's at hand. And so their message was the same. And so the Perrys were singing this song about coming out of Canaan and or out of Egypt, and I'm living in Canaan now. And so it's the Old Testament example of the new life in Christ. Now watch, we see this. Canaan is not typical of heaven. Heaven has no giants. Heaven has no woes. Heaven has no obstacles. Heaven has no things we have to do to obtain. Heaven is the reward. And so here we see it that Canaan was the land of promise. It was the land God promised them. But we find it here that as God brought them out of Egypt, which is typical of sin, he brought them into Canaan, which is a type, a picture, an Old Testament picture of the new life in Christ. And so there was lots of good things in Canaan. And there's many good things. I'm going to tell you, if you're not saved today, you ought to be saved. You ought to not rest till you find somewhere to repent and ask Jesus into your heart and submit your life to him. And salvation's simple. It's not cheap. It's not easy. It's not free. Pardon me, it's free. But it wasn't without cost to the Savior. But it is without cost to you. And so we don't want to cheapen what it means to be saved. We can't do that. Why? Because it's the glorious gift that God gave us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so salvation is only by grace. And it's only through Christ. For by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. And so we're saved by grace, and nothing we can do. There's not one thing those children of Israel could have done in the land of Egypt to earn their salvation. Now, their salvation was the fact that God brought them out. God delivered them. That's what happened. When the night I got saved, you know what happened? God brought me out of the old life and into the new. It was a new birth. It was a spiritual birth. And so they asked John the question, how can a man be born the second time? Can he enter his mother's womb the second time and be born? They asked Jesus that in John chapter 3. Nicodemus wanted to know, how can this be so? And some of you may have that question today. But I tell you, the explanation's in God's word. And the explanation is simple. And Jesus made an example of that that's born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit, spirit. And marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Nicodemus was a very educated man. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was taught. He understood. He knew what the Bible said. And all they had in that hour was the Old Testament. The New Testament wasn't written yet. It was being lived right there in Nicodemus's presence. When Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." You, sir, must be born again. Don't leave this world lost. You'll die and you'll burn in a devil's hell. Not God's plan for you. Not why God sent Christ. God sent Christ where all mankind could believe and be saved. And salvation's by faith. Salvation's the free gift. Salvation's what God does. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we see it right here. God said, "I'm going to bring them out with a high hand." And we're going to get into the word. We're going to sit here and miss our time. It's a 30-minute broadcast. But watch it here. God's going to deliver them. He's brought all of these different things to Pharaoh. And he's dealt with him and dealt with him and dealt with him. With flies and with locusts and with all of these things. Disease and famine. All these things God has brought his way. And now he said, "When I bring you out, you're going to come out with a high hand." Look at Exodus 14:2. And God's talked about this. This is where we're going to begin reading here in just a moment. But God said, when I get done, the last thing that God used was the Passover. And so when God said, "When I bring that Passover angel," and he's looking for the blood. Now the Passover is where the blood was applied to the doorpost and the lintel of the door. And every house of Israel, every family, was to take that blood of that firstborn sheep, a lamb, and apply it to the door. And God said, when that death angel comes over, it was the last demand of Pharaoh. God said, "When I get done, he is going to send you out, and he's not going to send you out empty-handed. No, he's going to send you out full with all the treasure of Egypt." Now, could you imagine this? Egypt was the greatest power in the world at that time. And so all of the things we know about Egypt today in modern history, this was their heyday. But I tell you, when God got done, it was destruction. And so we see it right here. And so God said, "I'm going to bring you out. And I'm going to bring you out with a high hand." God said, "I'm going to bring you out with great power." And he said, "Speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them, and do these things that I've commanded them to do." Well, the children of Israel did that. They obeyed God. Isn't it amazing how obeying the Lord yields great benefits? Great benefits in honoring him. So here, they've done this, and the Passover lamb came through, and every home that did not have the blood applied, you know what happened? There was death in that home. That firstborn was killed, and so God put his demands on the Passover lamb. And so the children of Israel, as they obeyed and the blood was applied, see what's going to happen? Jesus, we're going to be judged by the word of God one day. We're going to be judged by him that we stand before. And you know what's going to happen if there's no blood applied to our heart? Not the doorpost this time. No, God said there's to be blood applied to the heart. Jesus, when he saves us, applies that shed blood to the heart of every man, woman, boy, or girl that he saves. And if there's no blood applied, and so we see it, the power's in the blood. And the reason, when God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And so what happened? God did what he said. And when they came out that night, and the children of Israel are praying them, "Hey, y'all get out of here. Why? Because every home where no blood was applied, there was a dead child. And so we see it here. They're waking up in the night, and there was a dead child in the king's palace. And there was a dead child in the pauper's place. Are you getting this? Every home was judged by the Passover. And so God said, "When I see the blood," and the only thing that Jesus is looking for when we leave this world is the shed blood of Christ applied to our heart. Christ is the Passover lamb. And the Passover was an institution that God maintained all the way to Calvary. And at Calvary, Jesus was the last Passover lamb. He was the lamb without blemish, the lamb without spot that was slain for the sin of the world. And so he is eternal redemption. There is no need for a Passover lamb anymore. Christ is the Passover lamb. And God hung him on Calvary, and he shed his son's own blood for the sin of the world. That's the only reason Billy Watson can be saved, or you can be saved, or your neighbor can be saved, is because Christ is that Passover lamb. So back to the point here we're talking about. Pharaoh, God said, I'm going to harden his heart. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to pursue you one more time. So the Passover's happened, and now God has hardened Pharaoh's heart. You said, preacher, I determine if my heart's hard or not. No, you don't. God can harden your heart. God can soften your heart, and God can harden your heart. Verse 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. God said, when I get done, they're going to know who God is. Now, I'm going to tell you, sir, I don't care how adamant you are. I don't care how big and brawny you are, or how hard-hearted you are. When God gets done, you're going to know who God is. I encourage you, I pray you repent. Repent of a haughty spirit, if you've got one. Repent of a proud heart. Why? Because it brings destruction. And Pharaoh said, we're going to get up, and we're going to pursue those children of Israel. And God said, I'm going to get the glory. I'm going to be honored upon Pharaoh. You see, this is the thing about God. You can't whip him. You can't outsmart him. He knows all things. You can't outdo him. You can't outthink him. God knows the end from the beginning. God knows it all, sees it all. God has it all. He owns it all. He possesses it all. And he controls it all. He gives us breath. He gives us life. And he takes that life. And God brings hardships on us if he chooses to. He's a good God, a gracious God. But I tell you, we stand at his mercy. And Pharaoh never understood this. And God said, I'm going to be honored against the hard-hearted Pharaoh. And so it was told him that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh was turned against God's people, against the people. And he said, why have we done this? Now remember, it was just last night. He said, hey, y'all get out of here, take everything you want. And you know what God did? He spoiled the Egyptians. Now this is what this means. In Bible terminology, those that were engaged in battle would spoil the enemy. If they defeated them, they'd take all their goods. They'd take their gold, take their silver. And God said, I'm going to spoil the Egyptians, and I'm going to give it all to you. And the reason we find that God gave all the riches and wealth of Egypt unto the children of Israel. See, they were giving it to them. They were like, hey, take this, take this, take this. The word in the Bible says lent, but it actually means gave. And they were like, hey, y'all get out of here, go. They all had children to bury. Why? Because there was no Passover blood applied to the door. And so they would take everything we got. Take our gold, take our silver, take our fine linens, take it all. Our perfumes, our spices. By the way, they used all those things for the tabernacle. You know what God was doing? God was getting what those children of Israel, who were slaves and broke as convicts and living by the skin of their teeth, God sent them out with a high hand. He sent them out with the wealth of Egypt. And they went out into those woods, and God led them there. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart that he might pursue them. And the reason God did that was because he was going to destroy Pharaoh for good. And so we got to speed up a little bit for the sake of time. But look now, the word said, God said, I'm going to do these things. And Pharaoh said, why have we let the people of Israel go? You know what happens? There's people that come and they hear the word of God, and God quickens their heart, and God deals with them, and they go home. You know what happens? They get around those that maybe are not always a good influence, and they say, what have I done? And why was I thinking like that? And now here's Pharaoh. He's like, I messed up. I let these people go. And we don't have our servants, our slaves, our servitude. We lost them. And so he made ready his chariot, took his people with him, took 600 chosen chariots. Can you imagine these children of Israel getting out? God's leading them out. And here are 600 chariots. You can hear the metal. You can hear the rumble of the horses. You can hear all of these things coming. You can see the dust cloud as they pursue the children of Israel. And so God said, he hardened his heart, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them and overtook them, encamping by the sea. So they have, the children of Israel have got down to the river, the Red Sea. They're down there, and we find it that they're so afraid, and they're crying out to God. And they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, we've been brought down here, and we're going to be buried in this wilderness, and the buzzards are going to eat us. And they thought, you know, they're back to their negative thinking. They're back to their stinking thinking, that they thought God's forgot them, and God was just making a mockery out of them. And Moses said, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? Oh, pardon me, this is what the children of Israel said. They said, we told you, Moses, let us alone, leave us alone. And it had been better to have been slaves to the Egyptians than that we'd be down here and dying in these woods, down here by the Red Sea. And Moses said, get this, I pray to God you get this, stand still, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We ought to see the salvation of God. When God saves us, that's salvation. But I'm going to tell you, there's lots of times God's going to save you. Now, get this. I'm talking about saving you in the way of delivering you. And so, you know, things are against us. Life sometimes looks like it's against us. Our health sometimes seems to be against us. And so I've got a good friend, a dear brother today, he passed away. Why? Because it seems as though life brings us that way. Outside of God taking us home, we're all going to go the way of the grave. And so it seems like sometimes even life's against us. And the children of Israel, they're afraid. And Moses saying, stand still. Got to remember now, there's 2 million Jews. There's at least 2 million, probably 3 or 4 million actually. Because you're going to find it to be so. When you get over into the next chapters, you're going to see that there were 600,000 footmen of war. Actually, 603,550 men of war. Now you take that. That was just the men of war. That's not counting their wives and their children. And it's just got millions of Jews. This is my point. I want you to get, there's millions of Jews right here waiting to cross the Red Sea. And there's 600 chariots and all of these soldiers coming to pursue them. And it really is Waterloo right here for the children of Israel. And the word said, God said, I tell you, God's an on-time God with an on-time word. I don't know what you're going through, but God's got a word for you today, and he's trying to say something to you. He may be leading you to salvation. He may be leading you to come back from a life of sin. God may be trying to restore you. God may be wanting to encourage you. But I tell you, he's got a word for you. He's always got a word for us. God's word is for us. And it's for us all the time. And so we see it. Maybe it's a word of encouragement. But the word said here, I'm going to show you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more, forever. I pray you do something about that 13th verse, Exodus 14, 13. The enemy, God said, you're not going to see them again, no more, forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore thou criest unto me, speaking unto the children of Israel, but that they go forward. So God said, Moses, get up and go. It's time to go. Listen, God is this. You know, we have our time where we pour our hearts out to the Lord, but outside of that, it's time to go. And we can tell God what we feel. And he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what we're going through. I tell you, God knows what you think before you think it. He knows how your heart feels and how it hurts before you do. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But he said, I'm going to fight for you. And wherefore Christ unto me, get up and go forward. Lift thou up thy rod. He said, Moses, get your rod up, son. I tell you, we need to take the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And we need to hold up our rod and fight the devil with it, and fight depression with it, and fight discouragement with it, and fight disease with it. And we need to stand on God's precious word. And God said, hey, get up and go. It's time to go. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. We don't have time to sit around and have a good case of the mully grubs and a good case of the can't help it. That's not the plan of God. God's plan is go, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. Wait a minute. God said divide the sea, the Red Sea. Okay, God, you want me to divide the sea. God's going to divide it, not Moses. And he said, hold out your rod and divide the sea. His obedience is what was going to divide the sea. What was going to make the Red Sea part? Now, there's not too many of us that wasn't raised up with the old movies of the, you know, the children of Israel and Egypt and all of those things. You know, we seen those as a kid. Maybe you did too. But we watch these visuals the best way they know how to make it look as it appeared. But God held out, pardon me, Moses held out his rod because God said so. You know why we hold out our rod? Not because we understand everything. Moses probably had no idea what that meant. Hold out your rod. But I tell you, Moses understood if God said it, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. And what happened? By faith, by faith, by faith. Sometimes you ought to read the 11th chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Watch now, worlds plural. That's right, before they ever had a telescope and scientific technology, God said the worlds. And so they taught me about those worlds. Right there where I went to high school. Can't say I can name them all. I can name most of them. But God knew them all because he put them there. And Hebrews 11:3 said that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God did that by his word. And he told Moses, by his word, lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it and go over on dry ground. And Moses probably bumped himself on the side of the noggin and said, did I hear what I thought I heard? Did God say what I thought I heard God say? And here the word said, behold, I will harden the hearts. I'm glad God speaks to us, aren't you? He told Moses, he said, I'm going to harden the hearts of those Egyptians. And you know what they're going to do? You're going to go over on dry ground. Did you see that in verse 16? You're going to go over on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Dry ground, brother. They didn't get over there and have to clean out their sandals. They didn't have to go over there and get their flip-flops off and wash the mud out. Why? Because God said, you're going over. Now imagine this phenom. You said, preacher, I don't think that really happened. Well, how did you believe God stood the sea up and congealed it? That's what the psalm said. God said he congealed the sea. He made it stand up like a wall. God stood it up like jello. It's the same place we get the word jello. God made jello out of the Red Sea. And God has here had led them over on dry ground. Brother, it was dry. You say that was the bottom of an ocean. That's right. It was dry when God got done because he said it would be. And so, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor. And what God said back in verse 4, he hadn't changed his mind. He told them when they sent them out of there, I'm going to get me honor upon Pharaoh. Listen, I love the great leaders. I love the leader of our nation today. But, you know, God can get honor with anybody, anywhere. He can go through their CIA. He can go through their Secret Service. He can go through their personal protection. God reached Pharaoh right where he was. God said, I'm going to get me honor upon Pharaoh. And that's what he done. And so here, the word said, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And the angel of God, verse 19, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind, watch now, get this, went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. So here, I'm going to make a football analogy right here. God is leading the children of Israel out by an angel. He's leading them out across the Red Sea. And as he gets them across the Red Sea, God puts that angel in motion. That's right. We know what it is when a receiver goes in motion, a tailback goes in motion, a split out comes in motion. God put his angel in motion, and that angel has come. That angel has come from the front of the army to behind the army, and as he comes behind the army, bless God, God has put him there, and he's put the cloud there, and he has separated the children of Egypt from the children of Israel, and God done this exactly as he chose to do it. And so watch it and see it. And the cloud and was darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. And so God said that the angel went behind them, and the cloud went behind them, and God said, I'm going to be the dividing wall. You know where our protection lies? Our protection lies in the Lord. Our protection lies with him. Do you remember when Joshua, I think it was Joshua the fifth chapter, when he met the angel of God and the captain of the Lord's army, and he said, are you on our side? He said, are you for us or are you against us? I tell you, God's for you, church. He's for you if you're saved. These children of Israel were saved. They were God's young'uns. This was their deliverance. God's bringing them out. God's for them, not against them. God only lined up good things. If bad things happens to you, it's not the will of God. It's because of the curse. It's because of fallen man. It's because of the sin of the garden. It's because of who we are, not because of who God is. And God said, I'm going to bring you out so that one came not near the other all the night. Brother, they could sleep like little fat babies. And so here, they could rest. I'm going to tell you, there is a rest for the people of God. That's what Canaan was. Canaan was a rest for the people. We see this analogy in Hebrews a lot. Canaan was a rest. The land of promise. The land of deliverance. The land of good. The land of milk and honey. That's where God wants you to live. And the word said, they came not one near the other. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. This is nothing with God. God can do great exploits. God has caused many, many miracles throughout his word. And this was one of them. And the word said that God did it. He caused them to go back. And here, the Egyptians pursued. And look now, into verse number 24. It came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire of the cloud. So that pillar of fire has been there all night. And God is troubled with the host of the Egyptians. And watch now, we see it as they pursued. Pharaoh and his horsemen pursued. God brought them over on dry ground. The waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and left. But those hard-headed Egyptians pursued. Don't let your hard-headedness cause you to be destroyed. You said, preacher, I don't need God. Yes, you do. Quit being hard-headed about that. You need the Lord. You need him. You have to have him. You say, I can do it on my own. If I can't do it on my own, it ain't going to be done. Well, you can't save yourself on your own. That's for dead sure. You need Christ. Don't be bullheaded. Don't be hard-hearted. Don't let your pride destroy you. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Don't be that person. And so I plead with you, beg you, don't be the Pharaoh of your hour. Don't try to be the hero. Don't try to be the I'm the get it done person, and I can do it all myself. No, you can't. You got to have God. And so see it now. Watch. It came to pass in the morning that the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire, And as they went and pursued them, you know what God done? Watch this in the 25th verse. The angel took off the chariot wheels that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptian said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." Oh, you just now figured that out. You just now figured it out, that God's put an angel in motion. He has been a divider between Israel and Egypt all night. And now he has parted the Red Sea. And it's only until the angel takes the wheels off your buggy. You know, I like to ride my horse and buggy. I got a horse and buggy. That's I love that. It's just enjoyable to get out there and hear those horse hooves hit the highway and just enjoy what God's provided. But here, God had an angel over there taking the buggy wheels off. Can you imagine that? And the word said that the horses drove them heavily. Yeah, they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptian said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel." And brother, once they're trying to cross this Red Sea, God has put them there, and he took the angel, those mechanicking angels. God's got angels that can mechanic. God's got angels that can do heart surgery. God's got angels that can do all kind of great exploits. And those mechanicking angels of God are down there taking the wheels off the buggies and the chariots. And they figured out that God's fighting for them. And God's against us. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians." And Moses stretched forth his hand. I'm going to tell you, he's going to be doing that a lot in the soon coming days for the next 40 years. He stretched his hand forth, and the sea returned to the strength. And the word said the Egyptians fled against it, and God overthrew them in the midst of the sea and covered the chariots, verse 28, and the horsemen and the host of Pharaoh. And there remained, watch now, there remained not so much as one of them. God destroyed them. Our time's come and gone. I don't want God to destroy you. I don't want you to fight against God till God takes the wheels off your wagon. Sir, you want to repent. Ma'am, repent. Repent today. The Perrys are singing that song, and the song says, "I'm living in Canaan now." The song says, it's better in Canaan. You know where it's better for you? It's better with the new life in Christ. It's better where Jesus is. It's better where the land floweth with milk and honey. The land floweth with milk and honey where God's saints are. And we need that. We need Him. We need to understand what it means to be saved. We need to understand what it means to be brought out. God wants to bring you out of a life of sin and save you and change you, Father. Would you do it today? Would you rescue the perishing? Care for the dying. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus will save. He's merciful. He's a Savior. Father, do it today. Speak your word. Thank you, God, for your precious word. Thank you for how you blessed us with all of these great truths. Until we meet again, this is Brother Billy saying, God be with you, is our prayer.